Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's good to be back from Las Vegas. I won't be visiting there for hopefully the rest of my life. Although I was there, I was in a beautiful area, kind of a resort area outside of there for some meetings regarding Harvest America with a bunch of our friends at the Southern Baptist Convention. So that was good. That was useful. And, of course, if you listened on Monday, I did the show live right across the street from where the mass shooting was on October 1st there in Vegas. Literally, I was looking at the area where the concert was and the concert stage, and across the street from there was the Mandalay Bay Hotel. So that's where I was doing the show, like, because I can do the show pretty much anywhere. If I've got decent internet connection and I have a hotspot and take it with me, I can set up my little unit and I can do the show from just about anywhere. That day, that was a first for me. Well, actually, I've done it one other time. I did the show from my car. So I was literally sitting in the front seat of the car. In the parking lot across the street from the area where those 58 people sadly were gunned down back in October, and did the show and basically just went through a list of all 58 of them and just read a little bit about their story, who they were, where they were from. And for some of them, you had some of the details about how they died that night when they were shot, and many of them there with a spouse or with family. Really, really sad. But I felt compelled to do that, to honor them and to remind all of us how to count our blessings, especially this time of year. Because all the people involved with those 58 folks are not having a very pleasant holiday season. So I just felt compelled to do that, and then we played a best-of show. But today we're really focusing on Monday. That was kind of a show that was somber and you know, not a lot of fun to do. But today, focusing on life. So we're going to come at the life issue from a couple different directions. And for those of you listening on the Truth Radio Network in North Carolina, especially if you're down in Charlotte, we've got our good buddy Justin Reeder, who's the founder of Love Life Charlotte, an incredible organization that God has blessed and used mightily down there in the cause for life. Justin, how are you, man?
Good, Steve. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome. It's great to have you again. And I know you've got a big event, which isn't abnormal for you guys to be doing a prayer walk, but this Saturday, December 2nd at 9 a.m. down there in Charlotte, this one's going to be a little bit different than most of the time. So tell us what's going on and what do you expect God to do?
Yeah, so this is week 40 for us. So we're out there each week out there for the prayer walk. So we typically have around a couple hundred people there. But this week we're calling all 100-plus churches that have partnered with us to come back together for this week, as well as anybody else across North Carolina, of course, here in the greater Charlotte area, to come out this Saturday for our prayer walk. We're believing for 7,000 people. We're calling for the remnant, the 7,000 who will not bow the knee to Baal, to come and take a stand for life in our city, to join us for our prayer walk. It's happening at 9 o'clock. We're encouraging people to get there at 7:30 because we are going to be having to shuttle people over. We have parking that's going to be at the Park Expo, and we will be shuttling people over. You can get all the details, though, on our website, lovelifecharlotte.com. But it's going to be an incredible day. You're not going to miss it. And we really believe it's a historic day for our city and as well as for our state.
And for folks that didn't hear when you were on a few weeks back, Justin, just explain to people what God has been doing through Love Life Charlotte, obviously trying to save babies and have an impact on the abortion industry there. And that's certainly happened. It's amazing to see what God has done. But what are the kind of the regular mechanisms that Love Life Charlotte is using every week?
Yeah, so we're engaging the church. We believe that the issue is not the darkness, it's the absence of light. And so we believe abortion will end not through a politician or legislation, but through the Church of Jesus Christ. So our whole mission is to engage the church, to awaken the church, and give them real tangible ways to plug into this thing. So we do that through what we call Adoption Week. Each church adopts at least 1 week out of the 40 weeks, and we mobilize their people. We start out with education. They got to hear the tragic truth of what's happening in our city. We call the church to pray and to fast that Wednesday to get their hearts engaged with the Father's heart. And then on Saturday, to come out to the abortion clinic to do a prayer walk. We know that when light shows up, darkness has to leave.
Yeah.
But not only that, our hearts are stirred at another level in the same way that I first went out to the abortion clinic in 2012 when I first came face to face with this. And then at the end of that, we say, church, don't let this be the end of your journey, but let it be the beginning of your journey. Get connected beyond the prayer walk. And that's where we have our mentor program that we're having the church plug into. We're training them. We're equipping them to come along these families and walk side by side with them. We have Frontlines Ministry that's doing sidewalk counseling. We have orphan care. We're mobilizing families into foster care and adoption. You know, this is how we build and shape a culture of love and life where families stop running to the abortion clinic for the answer, and they start seeing the church in a different way, and they begin running to the local church.
Yeah.
And we believe that a culture of love and life looks like the church sacrificing and laying their lives down so that others can live.
Amen.
It's the love of Jesus in action.
That's what we're
activating the church to do in our city.
And it's ultimately the love of God that draws the lost to him anyway, and that is the power that we learn about when we become born-again Christians. And what kind of results, Justin, have you guys seen down there as a result of all these efforts over the last few years?
Yeah, so over 100 churches mobilizing together, which is a miracle in itself, all across denominational lines.
That's for sure.
Over 18,000 people have come out for the prayer walks, but the greatest number is we've seen over 800 families choose life at the abortion clinic in the last 2 years here in Charlotte at this abortion clinic. And just to tell you one quick story, you know, just a few months ago, we had a family that showed up for an abortion and chose life, gave their heart to the Lord. They already had two children. They were actually living out of their car. That's where we find a lot of these families. They're hopeless. But I'm happy to say now that they have found hope. They've given their heart to the Lord. They also got married. And here just last week, they gave birth to their baby.
Wow.
We got them in permanent housing. We've got them also a vehicle. They were in need of a new vehicle. And they were delivered a Thanksgiving meal by one of our partnering ministries here just recently for Thanksgiving. So they have a mentor that's walking with them. They've been brought into the local church. So this is one of the stories out of the 800.
Yeah.
But that's the miracle we're after, Steve. You know, it's not just about an abortion clinic closing. The real miracle is for hearts to be turned to the Father.
That's right. Yeah, and it's amazing to hear out of one interaction when you're out there praying for and encountering people at abortion clinics, all the fruit that God can bring off of that one tree, not the least of which is a brand new life brought into this world just recently. And so this Saturday in Charlotte, and I'm trying to arrange my schedule so I can get down there and join you, Justin, because I really want to be there with you guys. This Saturday, 9 a.m., but you got to get there early in Charlotte, like around 7:30 to 8 o'clock, because it's going to be packed. God is going to do another amazing work down there. LoveLifeCharlotte.com is the website. Justin, bro, thanks so much for your work, and thanks for calling in.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it, Steve.
You're welcome. I will talk again soon. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you again, and great to be back live in the studio. And I will be through the end of this week and all next week, and then I'll do a couple days. We'll do the show in Southern California together, and then we'll be back. And then I'm going to drag you up to Chicago with me for Christmas, so we'll do some Christmas shows up in Chicago when I'm up there. But today in the studio, and we were talking to Justin Reeder, who started Love Life Charlotte. By the way, that's their website, which is awesome, lovelifecharlotte.com. And just a massive prayer walk that they're going to do this Saturday. I'm hoping to get down there myself. And then I'm going to record while I'm there, and then I'll play that back next week. But another great story, another thing that God has been working on and been doing, and another new life brought into the world, involves another young couple that really weren't a part of the picture at first. But Emily Palacios and her husband Santiago are a part of the story. Emily's in the studio with me today, and here you are. So Amber just throws you under the bus, Amber Lehman at Human Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And now here you are on a nationally syndicated Christian talk radio show to share your story, and I appreciate you being here. How are you, Emily?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. So how did this story kind of start for you guys? It sounded like, and I don't know all the details, so I'm kind of with the audience today. It sounded like this all started in church.
Yes. Yes. So we were in church one Sunday, and our church does what we call a $5 gift club. So throughout the month, we're encouraged to give just a one-time $5. And then that will be given to a family in the community. And the whole point is just to, you know, reach people, show them God's love, and then surprise them with a little money gift at the end.
Yeah.
So this Sunday, we had just moved out of our house into a new house. And so this Sunday, it was an interview with our pastor's wife, who had worked at Human Coalition with Amber, and she interviewed a family who had chosen life, and they, you know, just had that conversation. And so our friend asked, you know, what's your greatest need, to this mom? And she said, housing. And like, man, my heart just drops. And I was like, oh, we have a house. So I just kind of kept it to myself because, you know, we have this 20-month-old, and after church, it gets so crazy with nap time. And so I kind of, you know.
Now, was it Kelly that was there that day?
No, it
wasn't.
This is
a different mom.
Yeah,
okay.
It's an interesting
cool.
story. Yeah. So my husband and I had driven separately to church. And so I took our son, went home, put him down for his nap. And then Santi had gone to our old house because we sold a few things. We were moving. And so I'm just kind of like, man, you know, you can't get that out of your head. And I thought, we have this house. And our plan was to rent it out, but, you know, rent it full
yeah,
price and
sure.
just, you know, get it fixed up, but in a couple months. And so I just feel this, like, heaviness and, like, I don't know, sometimes that happens. Like, I get, like, this really dark, like, yeah. eyebrow thought bubble thing in my forehead. And so he got home and we had lunch and he's like, hey, like, are you okay? What's going on? And I was like, man, I just can't get out of my head that, and her name, and she said, you know, that we need housing. And he just stops and he starts crying and I start crying. And I was like, you know, I just wanted to talk to you about it. I'm not sure how you feel about that, but like, it was pretty obvious that the Lord put on my heart, you have this house, they need a house. And he said the exact same thing.
Wow.
Like, we both had felt it. And we just hadn't been able to connect right away. And so it was just such a powerful moment. It's just one of those, like, you don't forget those details of where we were sitting, what we were eating. And so we both were like, yeah, like, they need a house. We have to help them.
Now, had you guys done, just in your individual walks with Christ or as a couple, had you been presented, had God ever kind of laid a big, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You have a house, you know, and unless you sell it, you got to rent it. But still, it's still a big, we're not talking about, you know, an old junker car. We're talking about
right.
a house. I know what part of town it's in. So it's in a good area, a great neighborhood. Had you ever kind of wrestled with something that big, that major, in terms of something that you would throw on the altar?
No, not at all. In fact, I had like wanted to do this in like 10, 15 years
yeah,
when, you know, we have everything.
Right, right.
We're not paying two mortgages. You know, I had wanted to do that, you know, for someone interning at a church, someone or anybody. I had wanted to do that as a ministry, but I, you know, didn't think it was going to be 2 days after we move out. So yeah, it was just, that was probably one of the biggest and only moments maybe so far as a married couple where it's like, whoa,
yeah.
like God put that on your heart. He put that on my heart, which is really exciting as a married couple.
Well, yeah, that there was, there's of course unity through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
even though you guys hadn't had a chance to talk,
yeah.
he had unified your hearts already.
Right. Because I think I was concerned like, oh, he's not going to go for that. Like, you know, and
sure.
maybe he was concerned like, oh, she's not going to go for that. So we both were a little hesitant that day. But I just felt it. And too, that was that Holy Spirit just like, I got to get this out.
Was it something in particular that was said when they were doing the interview up on the stage at church that day? Or is it just the Holy Spirit just started stirring?
I think it was the fact that this lady, she didn't say like, oh, we need money to pay for these bills or our kids really need, we need money. She just said housing. And I think it was that word, like they need a house, that really got to me. Like, we have a house. So it was just that word. If she would have said, you know, we need help, we need money.
And
we
it wasn't
need
like she was saying, we're looking for a fairly
right.
new 2,500 square
right.
foot, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Right. Like
she just said housing.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is very humble request.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it was just that word was like, whoa, like, oh, this is really, yeah. like, that hits right there.
So what was the next step for you guys?
So I thought, well, I'll contact our pastor's wife, and she had actually been, they went on vacation that night. So I was like, you know, I don't want to, you know, bother them. So I just texted her, and I was like, hey, give me a call when you get back. And so it ended up being about a week later, a couple days later. And then that's when she hooked me up with Amber.
Who just coincidentally
just
walks
in.
Into the room.
If anything shows me my need for Jesus, it's slow drivers.
Yes. Amber Lehman from the Human Coalition. Amber and I have been friends for years. And Amber Lehman and slow drivers go together about like lead and a hot air balloon. That's not pretty, but that's what I love about Amber. She's speaking of a driver. She's I would say Amber's been one of my heroes for a while and just completely committed to the life cause and pouring herself out and an incredible story yourself. And so she was just saying, and How did you guys kind of meet? How did this thing, because God's moving in their hearts and God's moving in that service, and then all of a sudden he brings you into this. How did that happen?
Oh, I don't even know where I am right now. I catch my breath a second.
Amber.
Hi, Emily. It's good to see you. Good to see you, Steve. All the listeners.
Nice to see you.
I was listening in the car. But we were talking about the $5 gift club.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Christina had worked with me years ago, who is the pastor's wife, and she had asked for a family to bless, and I connected her with a different family than Kelly, and that was Christina and I kind of reconnecting after many years, actually, and she said, we have somebody who might want to provide a home.
Yeah.
And will you talk to her? They have a lot of questions.
No kidding.
And I was like, you think they might have a lot of questions? Yeah. Absolutely, because it is a big... it's a big step.
Yeah. And so take it from there.
Yeah. So I called Amber, I think it was on a Wednesday. I called her on my break and I was like, hey, like, can you tell me about this family? And so she told me all about this family and, we just kind of talked about logistics and everything. And then the more we talked, the more we realized that our housing situation, because it's a townhouse, like that just might not be the best fit for this family that I had seen the video. And so she's like, you know, I've got this other family, and they also need housing. They have the two kids, and they need a house right now too. And they, you know, very stable. And so I was like, yeah, like let's get talking with them. And the more we talked about it, the more I was like, yeah, that's the right fit.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. We're gonna pick it up there when we come back. Also, we're expecting to hear from Kelly, who's the mom, and see how she is reacting to all of this and how God is moving through these various players in this story. And what's so cool is we all get to be a part. If we so choose to be, well, obedient, we all get to be a part of what he's doing every day. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you again. Have some great stories of life today. We talked to Justin Reeder from Love Life Charlotte, so they're gathering for a huge prayer walk down in Charlotte this Saturday, expecting 7,000 people. When Justin Reeder starts saying that, I believe him because it's amazing what God has done down there since Love Life Charlotte got going. So lovelifecharlotte.com. I'm going to try to get down there myself, so hopefully I'll see you there. But right now, hearing this incredible story about Emily Palacios and her husband Santiago, and they bought another house and they're going to move and they're going to rent the other one out. Then at church one day, there's an interview on stage and talking about this one woman who had chosen life, and all of a sudden one of their big needs was housing, and God got to work right then and there on Emily and Santiago. Apart from each other, they drove in separate cars to church that day, not for a bad reason, everybody chill out. and by the time they came back together, they're both like, felt so compelled that we need to use this home that we were going to rent out to help somebody in need, like this particular woman. And then now you're going to get to this other part of the story, which is Kelly. But then that's how she got connected with Amber Lehman from the Human Coalition, who's here with me today and has been on this show many times and has guest hosted a few times. Did you like doing that, by the way?
Yeah, I love doing it. I did it for a week for you. I don't know where you were. You were MIA.
I was MIA. You know, who knows?
I'll let you have your job back.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And so to get to the point where we're going to bring Kelly in here in a second, who's the mom, and she and her husband and their two kids now are in the house, right? They're there now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So Kelly's calling, and we're going to get to her in just a second. But how did you decide on Kelly, and then how did you guys decide to tell her? Because this is a pretty major development.
Well,
for a couple,
the video that Emily and Santi saw was for a family who had six kids.
Wow.
And so when we started talking, and it was a townhome, and the walls are only so thick, and, you know, just for a number of reasons, just felt like, oh, I don't know that this is quite the right fit. And I have been working with Kelly and Wiley for well over a year now. They've been to my house for Christmas, and they've become good friends, honestly. And so Wiley, you know, has shown himself to be superb. I mean, he manages their money. He walks to and from work a couple of miles each way.
Wow.
You know, and so that she can stay at home. Well, home was a homeless state in a weekly motel, but they were providing stability in such a way that it's evidenced in their son, who's 11, who I guess he's 12, but who's been winning awards at school. And so here is this, what should be very unstable. They're providing a stability and parenting, and it's just a testament to who they are. And they've been working so hard. And I thought, you know, they're ready.
Yeah.
They're ready to receive something like this. and work well with the landlord. And we've done this before, and it hasn't always gone wonderfully. And so, but we've been working with them long enough to see their character and to see they would take care of the place. And then talking to Emily and Santi and just all the personalities. It was a little bit eHarmony style. Putting the personalities together and just seeing, like, I think this is really going to be a good fit. And so I met with Emily and Santi over lunch, and we just talked through kind of some of the rules of the house and how do you manage this and what are the expectations and all of that. And then they said yes, and I had asked Kelly to pray about it. I was struggling whether or not to tell her it was even happening, that they were even considering it, but I just felt like she should be a part of the process of praying that God would move them after 18 months of homelessness into a home. And so I called her, and I was like,
"Well, let me bring her into the conversation
okay,
here.
Okay, hold
on a second, because we got Kelly's on the air, on the phone right
part.
Now. Kelly, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So Amber's talking to you and saying you need to start praying about having some housing. Did you have any idea at the time? I mean, what was that like for you? Because you were in a tough situation, but you guys were working hard and trying to make strides forward. But once Amber kind of said, "Hey, Kelly, you need to be a part of this," how did you react to that?
Well, little do anyone know, our prayer has been for a landlord to put our family in their hearts. Like, that was our prayer. God, please place our family in a landlord's heart. And when this opportunity came about, we knew it was God, because we had been rejected numerous times before. So we knew that this was the hand of God, and that he was moving in somebody's heart on our behalf. And it's just amazing that the body of Christ could be the answer to your prayers.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't it sad that for most of us, I think we sit there and go, and when something like this happens, we think it's amazing and totally out of character, but it's normal, really. It's normal when we are obedient, when we're following Christ as he has called us to live. But let's back it up a little bit, Kelly, because I want people to understand kind of where you guys were at, because you already had one child, and then you find out you're pregnant again. You're in a very tough situation. And if it's okay, take us into that world where you were at before Kylie was born and everything. That must have been a very, very difficult situation.
Absolutely. That was definitely a hard time in our family. We were faced with this obstacle of homelessness, and we were working to try to save money to get a place. And then once the pregnancy came into place and I found out that I was pregnant with twins, you know, I was touched by that God would bless my womb with twins. But it was hard, because as a believer, I was shocked that I even wanted to have an abortion. And I just thank God that I did not go through with it. I thank God for the women's clinic being available to give me an ultrasound so that I could see these two heartbeats inside of me. And I thank God for my husband's support, because though I wanted an abortion, my husband was adamant about not having an abortion, as well as my 11-year-old Sai. He was like, "Mom, I would be so angry with you if you hurt my baby sister or my baby brother."
Wow.
And those words, you know, they linger and they have an effect. And I just thank God that I made the choice of life.
Amen. And so how did all these people come together, Amber?
Well, I think we should clarify. Kelly had a what's called a vanishing twin. So she had twins, and then the Lord took one to heaven.
Well, reunited in the future in paradise,
which
will be awesome.
Yeah.
So how did all this then land together that you had yourself and Emily and Kelly and all of you get together, and all of a sudden God's providing housing, to say the least?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm the fundraiser now, so I rarely work with clients. But every year we have a dinner or, you know, an event, and Kelly was gracious enough to say yes to sharing that. So I took her shopping for an outfit and stuff, and we just kind of hit it off, you know, and from there was able to work with her. We do a lot of things like holiday connections and baby showers and all that kind of stuff. So we had stayed in touch, supporting her, and just, you know, a crisis happens, and really our clinic should be the first call.
Yeah, absolutely.
They make. We're the resourceful ones, you know. So that happened a few times, and they just kept getting better and better and better, and everything was, you know, just on the up and up. And then when this happened, it was just like, I know this is the right fit.
And, you know, Emily and Santi said yes. And I called Kelly and I was like, Kelly, they said yes. And she was just started crying.
What was that like for you, Kelly, to get that answer to prayer?
I was overwhelmed with joy. I could not believe that God had answered my prayer. Like, it was like a out-of-body experience. And I was just so grateful and thankful for Amber to be the connector and for Santi and Emily to really be obedient to the word of God, because without their obedience, this would not have been, you know, a life-changing experience for my family.
So, Emily, tell me about the day that you met Kelly and her husband. And
Yeah. So we decided to meet at Alpaca. It's a little Peruvian restaurant. And so we decided to meet there with Amber. And it was just so neat. Like, they walked in and Kelly just gave this, like, beautiful, like, such a warm hug. Like, I feel it right now.
She's a hugger.
Yeah, and Wiley, too. And we met Kelly. And it was just really neat just to meet each other and to talk. It felt right. There wasn't anything that was like, no. And I think we kind of talked some basics, but, you know, didn't get into details, just enjoyed the food and got to know each other a little bit. But there wasn't a doubt in our minds of like, no, never mind, we changed our mind. Like, I don't think so. Like, it flowed. And then I think from there,
I think the only concerns were, you know, that Sandy had was getting the house together.
Yeah.
You know, and
getting it ready.
And so it really, from the yes to moving them in, was mm-hmm. a whirlwind of activity mm-hmm. of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Santi's like, I work full time. I'm like, look, I'll find people. And so, you know, my small group came mm-hmm. and patched walls and, you know, little dots in the walls, whatever, and cleaned and did all this kind of stuff. And we put an all call out for furniture. I mean, they're coming from a one room motel room with, you know, clothes on their back, basically. And so, so everything was donated for the entire house.
Wow.
Every bed, dresser, linens, everything for the kitchen, every piece of, even decor.
Wow.
And so I was a little mean. Kelly probably wanted to trip me down the stairs because I wouldn't let her see the place.
Yeah, until it was all ready.
Until it was all
ready.
You were
staging.
And I was staging because I love HGTV and we were going to have a moment.
Right, yeah, you got to get it on film.
And the moment was amazing. Yes. It was good. It was worth it. But there was all these people who donated and we had to rent a truck and drive all over High Creation to pick up stuff. But they moved in, ready to move in, turn on the lights and relax.
Well, Kelly, I'm gonna put you on hold, but after the commercial break, I'm gonna dive right into the first time you guys saw the house and what that was like and what it's been like since then, and plenty of other things to talk about. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Talking to my friend Amber and my new friends Emily and Kelly, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you, talking about just some great stories about life. Speaking of life and health in general, let me just remind you, one of our partners on the show, MediShare, and it's easy for me to talk about MediShare because the Noble family has been on MediShare for about 5 years now. It's been a huge blessing for us, gets you around Obamacare and all that garbage, allows you to manage your own healthcare money, and you're not paying for things that you shouldn't be paying for, like abortions, like abortifacients. And that's been an awesome thing for our family. And MediShare is coming up on about 300,000 Christians nationwide sharing each other's major medical. So happy and always joyful to share that information with you. You can find out more for yourself and for your family at 855-BIBLE-11 is the phone number. 855-BIBLE-11, also now available in Montana. But what is not available in Montana is the story that we're sharing today. Amber Lehman from Human Coalition is here. And then Emily is here as well. Emily and her husband, Santiago, who you guys call him Santi.
Santi.
Not Santi. That sounds like Santa Claus. Santi Palacios. And they were buying a new home and moving. And they heard an interview at church one day. And really, God just got all over both of them about this house that they were going to rent and just kind of be a moneymaker. And eventually, as Emily, like you said earlier today, well, you know, on down the road, mm-hmm. we'll do some awesome things with this property and with things that God has given us. But we make our plans, but God orders our steps. And one of the steps that God had in play here was Kelly, which is we've been talking to Kelly, and she and her husband already had one child. They have a son, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
it was amazing.
Pregnant with twins. And now that struggle there because they were fighting homelessness and just one challenge after another, but chose life, praise the Lord. And then this whole God just bringing all these bullets together and meeting in midair, and that's the story we're hearing now. So I want to go back to Kelly. And Kelly, tell us about your experience the first time you pulled into that neighborhood. I mean, did you know anything about the house before you saw it, or was this one of those HGTV moments?
It was definitely a HGTV moment. I love HGTV.
You should see the little smirk on Amber's face right now. She's loving this.
And I did try to, like, Google the address and, you know, click on different properties just to get an idea of what the property looked like. But I was just so shocked once I saw the beauty of the area out here, and just really thankful that that God would choose me to live in such a beautiful place, that God would give this to us through Emily and Santi. And it's just been a great safe haven for my family.
And so, Emily, what was that like for you guys when you first, like, all this stuff's coming together, mm-hmm. and it's all decorated and it's furnished, and now they show up. So what was that like for you?
Yeah, well, we had met them that afternoon. So I think Wiley and Kelly had already seen it at lunchtime. So we were there when they brought their son, Cy, for the first time. So it was really exciting. Like, it looked totally different. First of all, I was like, did I live here? I was like, that's a really nice painting. And so it was just so cool. And just to see the amount of people that just like had been loving on them. And so we were just waiting for them to come and just see, you know, everyone's reactions. It was just so neat. It just felt just warms your heart just to know how much like we're able to help and just develop this friendship. Just to see, you know, God working through all of this. It's just amazing how we all got connected just from, you know, it's not random, but kind of feels random
at some points.
But it's not. Like, it's totally his plan.
Well, this is truly an Ephesians 3:20 moment. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, which, of course, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amber, you mentioned something before the break that this was different. You know, saving babies, obviously, hand praise, you know, we're going crazy. We love that. But oftentimes you don't see what's happening on down the road when these new lives are brought into the world. And of course, people that are against the life movement will say, well, you only care about babies until they're born. Then whatever, you don't care after that. But why was this one so different for you to kind of see this whole process come to play?
Well, you know, I've been doing this 12 years. It'll be 12 years next month. And, you know, you watch women come in and out, and some of them you get more involved with than others. I mean, it's however much they want to engage us, we will engage them. And we have tons of continuing care and resources for every woman who walks through the door. But Kelly and Wiley have stayed engaged. She's done so much for us, too. I mean, they just have a spirit of giving back. And, you know, she's does thank you calls to donors for us and speaks at anything we ask her to speak at, and just is willing to put herself out there. And that's a hard story to get out there and put yourself out there. I mean, I'm post-abortive. Every time I shared that in the first couple of years after I became a believer, I felt like I was naked in front of people, you know? And so it takes a lot of courage for somebody to do that. And so Kelly's always willing to jump in there and do that with us. And this was just, you know, seeing them catch a break that is really life changing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. Kelly, how did your husband and your son react?
My husband had to walk away because he was so full. And my son was just ecstatic. He kept saying, my room, get out my room, get out my room. Mom, really, get out my room. And I'm like, okay, well, let me get out your room.
And it was so cool, like, how God orchestrates even details in this. Is that I called Kelly, I said, what's Cy like? You know, like, what's he into? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, Batman and NC State. And I was like, all right, well, that room's going to be Batman or NC State.
And so,
come
is that what happened?
Water, you know? Yeah. And so I just put that out on my Facebook page, and somebody pinged me, and she said, I have a whole bag of NC State stuff. And and the sweetness of it was that it belonged to her son who had passed away.
Wow, really?
And so when Cy came into the room, he was like, no way. You know me so well. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe this. And some of them were signed posters. And he was just, wow. I actually have a picture of him up against that I should probably give to his mom. Right, Kelly? Mm-hmm. And he's right up against it. And he's like, I just can't believe this. Are you kidding me? And then there was a second one. He's like, oh, my gosh, there's that other. You know, so.
This is
HDTV. And he's got his own bed, and his sister's not in the room with him, and, you know, all that good stuff.
So, Kelly, I mean, when you found out that this whole thing, I mean, God had just provided through his people, and not just the house through Emily and her husband, but the body of Christ in the area for all the furnishings, everything that was in there, how did that make you feel? I mean, you're a believer, you're trying to walk with Christ. You know, none of us do that perfectly, but what did that mean to you guys that the body of Christ came through for you guys and provided literally everything that you needed to get this fresh new start?
It's just so humbling. And Amber and her team and the body of Christ, they paid attention to the details. You know, like when we came here November 3rd, it was moving ready. Like we could call it home because everything was in place, down to the silverware, the, you know, food, just everything was just in place. And it was just so humbling to know that people who don't know you can just relate to you and have a compassion for your hardship, because homelessness is traumatizing. And, you know, being married is hard and raising kids is hard. And to have all these obstacles and barriers going on in our life, and just to know that God is faithful, is so humbling. And it just makes you smile and rejoice no matter what you're going through, just to know that God will pull you through. It's a beautiful feeling to know that God got you.
Amen. Now, go ahead, Amen.
And if you're in the listening audience and you're a family of four, imagine living in one room for a year and working on your marriage and your parenting and all of those things.
I would rather not
getting away from each other.
I would rather not imagine that, if that's okay with
and
you.
And one day Kelly said, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if we're just going to follow each other around to each room or if we're all going to go to our own space. And
that's hilarious. So funny. Emily, so what has God shown you through all of this for you and your husband, Santiago? What has he taught you? How's he shown himself to you in all of this? What an amazing experience.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, God will put something on your heart and we need to listen. You know, sometimes I think like, what if I would have tried to ignore that little feeling of like, no, like that's not God. But I have like this guilty conscience, so I don't think I would have survived. But I think, you know, he, like you had said too, you know, when we think we have this plan, he'll change it. Like it's his plans for his glory.
Yeah, you guys thought the house was yours.
Yeah.
We don't really
rent
anything.
It out. Yeah, no. So I think it's just so important to be obedient when you hear God and, you know, just always kind of asking yourself, like, how can I be a servant? You know, whether it's financially or just being someone's friend. There's just so many ways that we can serve, and just listening to God when he puts it on your heart.
Amber, you've been in the trenches for a while.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if everybody listening just did something radical this year. They gave away a car. They paid somebody's rent. They, you know, went into the, you know, to the electric bill and said, I'm going to pay 6 months of this.
You'd have to enlarge the doors of every church.
Right. I mean,
and
every time that we've seen somebody really thrive, whether it's Sarah from way, way back when we first started this transformational giving thing where we would connect clients with people in the community in small groups and things like that. The ones who have embraced one another are the ones who are now strongest believers, the best financially stable. You know, when the body of Christ comes around somebody and gives them a new community and they're a cheerleader and they're the emergency phone call and they're help with Christmas and birthdays and all that kind of stuff. Like we don't have to worry about what happens to them at the clinic because we know they're in the hands
Of
the Lord His people.
Where he's going to supply all their needs. That's right. How can people get involved with Human Coalition, Amber?
Humancoalition.org. And then we're in four cities, Pittsburgh, Raleigh, Durham, Atlanta, and Dallas area, and on our way to 40 cities.
Amen.
In the next few years.
Totally awesome. HumanCoalition.com, right?
.org,
sorry.
O-R-G.
HumanCoalition.org. Amber, great having you here again.
Steve.
Emily, thanks so much for
being
here.
And thanks,
Kelly, Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord. We're so excited for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you, too. Okay, friends. I don't really have anything to say about
that.
Live
radical.
Live radical, baby. That's where it is. Merry Christmas. God willing, I'll talk to you guys again real soon.